Amen. Thank God he came looking for me. You that know him and the free pardon of sin, thank God he come looking for you. Those who don't know him, he's looking for you. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the invitation. We can choose to respond to that invitation. We can choose to turn to him, or we can choose to turn away. We can choose to believe, or we can choose not to believe. If we choose to believe, we're going to have a peace in our heart that passes all understanding. We're going to have a steadfast hope, knowing that when we leave this life, we're going to heaven, and certain all of us are going to leave this life one day. And then for those who refuse to believe, what's going to happen? He that believes is not condemned, John 3, verse 18. But he that believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he's a sinner? No. Because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yeah. People go to hell because they refuse to believe. They want to believe anything and everything except the truth. And the reality is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. That goes for me. That goes for you. It goes for each and every one of us. And brother, it behooves us to take it seriously. Because we have conditions coming up on this world that could take any one of us out of here at any time in any way. Things are not going to remain as they are or have been. It's going downhill fast. And one of these days, this world is going to explode. Now, those that are saved, I'm persuaded, are going to escape it, because when he comes to clouds of the air, all the saved are going out of here. All those who have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, going out of here. But those that are not or haven't are going to be left behind. Truth, reality. But again, you can accept it, you can reject it. Accept it, you're going to be blessed. Reject it, consequences are fearful. You know what brought me truly to the Lord finally is a fear of dying and going to hell. Yeah. You know, I don't fear death. What I fear is about death. You know, it's that suffering before I die is what I'm concerned about. I just soon skip that and just go on, because I know where I'm going. Because I believe with all of my heart, I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, no matter who or what they are. Because really, when you go back, we're all descendants of Adam. Now, what's differentiated us? Sin and the effects of sin. But we're all. Actually, we all got to go back through Noah. See? All of mankind. Every human being. He's going to hold us all accountable for whether or not we truly believe and trust in Jesus. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I just thought maybe I might mention it. I've been going to preach on this a number of times, and so tonight is it, I guess. At any rate, Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, and verse number 25. The religious folks of his day were questioning Jesus about his authority, trying to trap him and into contradicting himself. And we find that Jesus answered them, and he did it in this way with a question. The baptism of John, that's John the Baptist, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? So in this verse of scripture, we find that we either have heaven's authority, and the alternative is man's authority. And man's authority don't amount to anything. He doesn't have the power to change. He doesn't even have the power to keep the hair on his head. No matter what you do or what you use, God does. You see? So it's important that we have heaven's authority. Heaven's authority, not the authority of man. The question now is, where is that authority? Where is heaven's authority? First of all, Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And I say also unto thee, now who's thee? I say also unto you, who's he talking to? He was talking to his New Testament church. He was talking to that called out assembly. He was talking to the true church that Jesus built. And yes, he built his church in his personal ministry. He did not build it on the day of Pentecost. That's way too late. He built it in his personal ministry. He say, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee. Who's he talking to? His New Testament church that he built. And by the way, not all the saved were in that church. Never has been a universal church of all the saved. Always been a local assembly. Seven churches of Asia. If the church was universal, he said the church in Asia. But he didn't. He said the seven churches, recognizing the local called out assembly. That's who he was talking with about here. And he says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's authority. That's authority. Where'd he put it? In the church. What authority was it? Heaven's. After all, he's from heaven. After all, he's God. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He gave to his New Testament church during his personal ministry while he was still with them and teaching them the authority. What authority? It was the authority of Christ. He placed it in his New Testament church. Verse 18 again. He says, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So his authority is still here. Heaven's authority is still here. How do I know it's still here? He said it would never end. Gates of hell would not prevail against his church. Now, his church, listen, the lifespan's pretty short. All those people that were in the church there, all them died out. The church died out. There's not a church. The church doesn't exist. But what does exist? the churches that descended from that church. He wasn't saying that that church would continue forever. He was saying that kind of church who originated with that first church would always be in the world today. And in that church, he placed heaven's authority. By what authority do you do these things, Jesus? Heaven's authority. The fellow that prepared the material was John the Baptist. John 1 and verse 6 says there's a man sent from God whose name was John. His name was John, not John Baptist. His name was John the Baptist, telling you what kind of individual that he was. He placed that authority in his New Testament church. And he placed it there because he's the head of that church. He's the head of each individual church that was established by the church before and the church before that originated with the church that he built. Keeping his promise that the gates of hell would not prevail. Keeping his promise that heaven's authority could continue in this world today. And by the way, it's either by heaven's authority or it's by the authority of man. Which one are you operating under? Colossians 1, verse 18. Colossians 1 and 18, the Bible says, and he is the head of the body. And by the way, the church and body are the same. He is the head of the body, the church. What church? His local New Testament churches, those that have descended from the church that he built and he established. And he promised there'd always be one. He is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The church, that he in all things might have the preeminence. What is the church here for? It's to give him the preeminence. Yeah. To give him the preeminence. If you're going to give him the preeminence, do it in and through a local New Testament church. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He gets glory in his New Testament church. If you're going to give God glory, do it in a New Testament church. You can't do it otherwise, because heaven's authority rests in that New Testament church, of which he's the head. He didn't make the preacher the head. Thank God for that. He's the head. The church is the body. He's the head. We're the body. He works through us. And when we follow his word, it's him working and teaching and leading and instructing and carrying out his word. We want the glory. No, that's why he tells preach the word. Got a message direct from the throne. The Spirit's leading me. Hogwash. If you want a message from God, get in the word. Preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's all there. And by the way, he committed the oracles of God to the church, according to the Spirit through Paul, to the church at Corinth. That's the word of God. And also to Paul through to Timothy, of the Spirit through Paul to Timothy, he made it clear that she's the pillar and ground of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 or 1 Timothy 2:15, I guess it is. She's the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If she's the pillar and ground of the truth, she's the support of the truth. Well, how does she support it? By heaven's authority. Nobody else got that authority. Now, I know that goes against everything that Christianity says today. We're just all working together to get to the same place. I'm not working to get anywhere. My ticket's already paid. If you repented by faith, trusted Christ, yours is already paid. It was paid by Jesus. If you truly know him, then you know where you're going to go when you leave this place. You're not working to get there. You're working to show him how much you love him and appreciate what he's done for us. Of which he did something that we could never do, something that man could never do, something that no power anywhere that exists could ever do, either here or in heaven or eternity. He did something that no other could ever do. He has all authority, by the way. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Who's them? His church. That called out assembly. Jesus' disciples. Well, John had disciples. John's disciples in John chapter 3, his disciples, John's disciples were saved, scripturally baptized. But he'd not added them to the church. Jesus' disciples were saved, scripturally baptized by John, material prepared, and Jesus then added them to the church that called out assembly. Matthew chapter 4, he went along the seashores of Galilee and called these brethren out. He only called those who were saved, scripturally baptized by John, because again, authority is important. They were baptized by heaven's authority because John had it. And he's the only individual that ever had that authority. It's in the church now. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is the authority. There is no other. He is the power. There's no greater. No greater. Authority. He has, look at Mark, the first chapter, verse number 27. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? Oh, look at that word doctrine in there. Isn't that something? Doctrine's not that important. Yeah, well, it is according to heaven's authority. What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Amen. He even has authority over the demons. He has authority, forgive sins. Look at Luke 5, verse number 24. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He's got authority to forgive sins. No other has that authority, not even the church. Well, wait a minute. Now, when we apologize to the church forgives us. No, the church just doesn't hold us accountable. We bind, we loose. We hold them accountable by the word, or we loose them. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. He has the authority to forgive sins. He has the authority to execute judgment. Look at John 5, beginning with verse number 22. John chapter 5. John 5 and verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He has the authority to judge. To what? All judgment is given to him. All. And every man, saved, lost, are going to stand before him and be judged. Why? Because he has heaven's authority to do so. Christ placed this authority in the church. Again, Matthew 16, verse number 19. Matthew 16th chapter and verse number 19. The Bible says, and I will give unto thee, speaking to his church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You give somebody the keys, you give them authority. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Church can bind sin, or they can loose it. They have authority, heaven's authority. Listen, that authority again was placed in the church, heaven's authority. She has the authority to be witnesses. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 18, or number 8. Acts 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Who's he speaking to? His New Testament church. He gave them the authority to witness of him. Who'd he give it to? The church. Where did the authority come from? Heaven. The church, by the way, they are his only witnesses. They are his only witnesses. Look at Acts chapter 1 here, verses 21 and 22. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, and we're talking about his church here, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must be one ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Maybe a witness of his resurrection. Acts 13, verse number 31. Acts chapter 13, verse 31. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. What was that, Acts 1 over there? They must choose one that was had accompanied them. That's church membership. That's church membership. Who are witnesses unto the people. Who are the witnesses unto people? The Lord's New Testament church. How do they do it? Under the authority of heaven, not the authority of men. There are others that may witness what they understand of the scripture. They may even witness the scripture. And that's almost gone totally today. But they have no authority. They have no authority. And they wouldn't have anything to witness if it weren't for the Lord's churches preserving the truth, or Jesus doing it through his churches. The word has not been preserved by man. It's been preserved by Jesus Christ through his local New Testament churches. Little drawn up bodies like this one here through the ages. People want to croak because they don't realize. Did you know that at one time Every little podunk town in Oregon had a landmark Missionary Baptist church in it. You know why this nation is great, has been as great as it is? Because it's the last stronghold of New Testament churches in the world. The world had them before us, and they destroyed and did away with them. They took man's authority instead of heaven's authority. And every world power, every nation that ruled the world had a stronghold of New Testament churches in it at the time. Every little podunk town in Oregon at one time had a landmark Missionary Baptist church. Brad probably won't mind me using this, but Brad and I were talking about, he went to a Baptist church down in Gold Beach where he's originally from, and he got to looking it up. And he come to me and he said, you know what? He said, the first church established in Gold Beach was Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. Of course, the Baptist church he was going to wasn't one, wasn't a descendant. It was one that man established. That's no, shouldn't be a surprise to us. Shouldn't be strange. They had the authority. Matthew 16 and 15, they had the authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had the authority to make disciples in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And when we do witnessing and personal work, brother, leading them to Christ is not the end. His will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That must be a New Testament church, because that's where he's preserved the truth. And the only truth the rest of them out here has is what's been preserved by those churches. That sounds a cult. If you want to call something a cult, go out here and find these places that were organized by men. God didn't give authority to mankind. He didn't write the Bible to mankind. He wrote it to New Testament churches. It was delivered to New Testament churches. Why should we give it a lot of significance? Because Jesus, Acts 20, 28, said he shed his blood. He bought it with his blood. The church. That's why it's important to him. That's why it's important for us to be in the church, so we can operate under heaven's authority and not man's. If we're operating under man's authority, we're carrying out the will of man. And you go out here, even most of the so-called Baptist churches, and some of them that used to be true churches, but forsook it like Ephesians, or the church at Ephesus did there in Revelation chapter 2, I believe it is. They left their first love, and he said, except you repent, we'll remove the candlestick. Well, some of these churches have gone off so far, he's removed the candlestick. They're no longer his. They no longer operate under heaven's authority. They forfeited it. Yeah, well, that's confusing. You know why it's confusing? Because you listen out here, you listen to man instead of listening to God. You get in here, it's right here. And if a dumb hillbilly like me can understand it, and a dumb hillbilly like me can bring it out to you, then bless your heart, well-educated folks like you ought to understand it easily. Why do you harp on it? He shed his blood for it. Yeah. That's why. No greater price ever paid than what was paid for the church and for the great privilege that we have. He gave us authority to make disciples. Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them and my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's church capacity. Where two or three are gathered in his name, that's by his authority. What authority does he have? Heaven's authority. That's not according to me. That's according to the scripture. That's according to the word of God. That's God speaking. That's God teaching. That's God revealing. That's why he said, preach the word. And we'll not preach ourselves. He gave authority. He didn't give it to individuals. He gave it to his churches. The church's authority is limited to carrying out the word of God. We don't have any authority beyond the authority that this gives us. We are an executive body. We're to carry out the laws of God and not establish new ones. The new ones that are established are of men. Makes us no different than these organizations out here that have been started and established by men. Church is to carry out the commandments of God, and his commandments are revealed to the church in his word. Look at Acts 1, beginning with verse number 15. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. The church and those who were assembled at this meeting were about 120. Two or three were gathered together in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by his authority, by heaven's authority. They were gathered together under that authority. They were a scriptural New Testament church. The number of their members was about 120 at that time. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now what? Church, you're to carry out what the Word of God teaches. And the Word of God teaches us that we need to replace one with for Judas. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field and so forth and so on, and he hung himself and got so ripe that his bowels gushed when he fell. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue Acladama, that it is to say the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore are these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast been, hast, chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go on to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. They voted. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Yeah. Look at that. That's the church operating independently. Heaven's authority doesn't come through the preachers. It doesn't come through the deacons. It doesn't come through a few of the members. It comes through that body, the whole church. That's why I have to say, church, what say you? Church, what are you going to do with this? It's not my place. It's my place to teach the word of God and set an example before you and to lead you according to the word. And then you are to operate according to the word. And it's my place then to let the church operate by and according to the word of God. The church voted, cast lots, and elected one. Where's the authority? From heaven? It's in the Lord's New Testament churches. He did not put it anywhere else. And bless your heart. Listen, some discussion here the other day, the foolishness sometimes even of God's people. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he must be a God call man. Would God ever call, where is the office of a bishop? It's in a New Testament church. Would God ever call a man to be a bishop somewhere else? No. If he calls a man, he calls him to be a bishop. And by the way, he don't call him to be a youth group leader. He doesn't call him to in a ministry of some kind of the church. He calls him to fill the office of a bishop. And I challenge you, show me anywhere in the scripture contrary to that, and I'll go right along with you. It's not in there. And by the way, those that God calls, he calls of the faithful in the New Testament churches. And by the way, 6th chapter book of Acts, they chose deacons, chosen from the membership of the church. Yeah. Didn't choose them because they were good carpenters. Chosen because they were faithfully serving the Lord. And they were knowledgeable in the scripture. See? Yeah. Well, that's kind of hard on us going by the word. That's fanatical. Come back, my brother come back from the military. He heard that I'd gotten church and had too much religion. He come back, and first thing he did was he took me for a walk. Put his arm around me, and he said, "Bud," he said, "now too much religion can drive some people crazy. I'm worried about you." Well, it wasn't too long he got saved, and it wasn't crazy anymore. But that's the attitude approach. Listen, if I'm a nut, as the old saying used to be, at least I'm screwed to the right bolt. Jesus. Yeah. That's what you need to be. Let's stand. And I'll guarantee you, I just come to my senses when the Lord saved me.